The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, thank you, Jeff Miller, Tyler Aki. JR and Danny will be back tomorrow. And Hoodie and I back at 7 a.m. Carmen Yurker coming up. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing back at Hawthorne Racecourse with a newly remodeled rooftop deck. They've got sports betting in the Points Bet Sportsbook, horse racing in Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne app. Get in on all the action with Hawthorne.
Carmen Yurko, bop, 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 bop. What's up, fellas?
Morning, boys.
How we doing?
Good.
Carm, how are you, kid?
Wonderful. How are you?
We are fine. We had an interesting show with 10 lines lit for 3 hours.
I can imagine.
Hey, man, tell me
knew it was coming.
Tell me about how good the fishing is in Tampa.
Everything, first of all, is good in Tampa. I like Tampa. It's a pretty good little town. Every time I come here, I'm reminded of how much I like it. The buzz is good down here right now, guys. Like, they've got the Bucks and Brady. They've got the back-to-back defending Stanley Cup champs. And anybody that thinks that they're an afterthought down here has never been down here. I mean, you should have seen Saturday night down here. The Avalanche were in town. I've been to a game at that stadium. It's fun. It's energetic. The fan base, like, really supports them down here. And they're great, so that helps. But they got the Rays, even though they're in sleepy St. Pete. There's just like a fun buzz down here right now in this town. The weekend was great. There were Bear fans everywhere, which is often the case, especially in October for a game where you can get on the road and out of the city. In a place like this, we knew there'd be a ton of Bear fans, and there were everywhere in this hotel and just kind of around town. So that was fun. I mean, look, everything has been great. We've had an incredible time. I think the boys really enjoyed it. I don't think the loss stings them as much. Maybe Mason. Like, Mason's pretty hardcore, like his dad, like Sylvie. But yeah, I don't think it affects them as much as it does us. We were a little dejected leaving the game yesterday, but we kind of knew it was coming, and everything else about the trip has been phenomenal. And the fishing hoodie, top notch. I mean, we killed it yesterday, and it ended on a high note because we caught those jacks at the very end. And it was, I heard Danny on with you guys. I mean, it was 1, 2, 3. The captain saw like a school of them. He was going to move the boat. He got all excited. He's like, reels in, let's go. And then all of a sudden, like, mine hit. And a few seconds later, Danny's hit. And then one of them hit the reel. The boys had a reel. I think my son did. And it hit. And the captain grabbed it from him real quick. And for 20 minutes, we fought these three fish on this boat. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was like everything we went out there for. It was fantastic.
The Crevel Jack. That's what you caught.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice. Were they good eating?
I mean, for
good eating fish?
We did not eat them. We threw everything back. Every fish went back in the water.
My dad
catch
said,
and release.
My dad doesn't understand it. He would not understand.
No.
You went to fish to catch fish, and now you're putting it back?
I know.
It's for harvesting.
Well, the sport of
you guys could have had lunch.
The fun part.
You could have had lunch.
Well, where were we going to have one? What are we going to do with the jackfish down the main? I mean,
the captain slices them up. Well, then what are you catching it for?
Ship it back home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Put it in some dry ice.
Oh, that's not really a trophy fish or anything. You can't eat those, really. They're all. It's just muscle. That's why they fight so hard for being just 20-pound fish.
Spirited little animal.
It's a solid piece. It is one solid piece of muscle. They're incredible. They fight so hard for fish that aren't, you know, you'd think they weigh 100 pounds. They don't.
Let me tell you something. My dad and Yerk's dad would have found a way to slice into that thing. Let me tell you right now.
Father-in-law.
smoked it.
No.
We took my father-in-law to dinner. He looked at the menu. He was $23 for walleye?
Yep.
That's what I can't. I'm not paying that.
Of course.
I'm like, I'm getting a check. Friend. I will not give them $23 for a piece of walleye.
If I would have heard
walleye,
that, I'm getting a check. Lobster.
Walleye is good eating. I've kept plenty of walleye that I've caught over the years. We do eat those. But, not as – I mean, we're down here doing a charter. We're going to the game in a couple hours. What are we supposed to do with jackfish? I mean, we weren't – You can take him to a restaurant and say, hey, can you cook these for us?
Well, usually you do the shore lunch once you get there. The captain starts the grill, and then he prepares it with a little pico de gallo or something like that.
Again, you're not.
How about a nice chimichurra? I understand, Carp. The jackfish is not getting cooked. I understand that.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's nothing. You know, he could have gone and got you guys some grouper or something. Anything.
We tried.
Okay.
We were trying. We were not really deep enough for the grill, I don't think. But, like, we did. We tried for some redfish, some grouper. We caught mostly snook. Some ladyfish. Danny caught a catfish, a big old saltwater cat.
Nice.
We caught those jacks. Yeah, it was
like
good.
A good catfish.
Saltwater catfish.
Catfish is good eat.
Catfish
they look
nuggets,
gross, but that's
man,
good eat.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Nuggets are fantastic.
Can I ask you guys a football question?
I wish you wouldn't.
Feel free.
Can you explain to me what this means?
I will say the last couple of days with our team, we've become really close. And, you know, For us to become as close as we have the last 24, 48 hours, I just trust and believe in them, and they've done it before. We're 3-4 right now. Again, we can't have this affect us and make it be a 2 or 3 or 4 feel like that much of a loss. This is we lost, and we got to learn from it. Our guys have rebounded before in the past, and I just know from our discussion in there after the game. And where we're at right now as fighters and people and teammates, it's not fun. This is not fun. But at the same point in time, we all go through some adversity to be able to get us, you know, where we want to go in the end. And so that's why I feel that way.
The nightmare continues.
That's not a football question. That's a question for Dr. Malfi.
Exactly.
I mean, how about that?
It's all he's got right now, boys. It's the only thing he can fall back on. He's got to do this to try to convince George that he can. So he's got to go into his exit interview at the end of the year and say, hey, look, we stayed together. I kept our team together. That's the only thing he's got. And George might be, sadly to say, might be, I don't want to say silly enough, but just misguided enough.
Yeah, he might be swayed.
Swayed to actually believe it and keep him on,
of course,
which
George
is scary.
Doesn't know a damn thing about football. So, no. I mean, you'd have him trying to convince a guy that the personal relationships with the players are more important than what happens on the field. You know, I went over the schedule. I still mapped out 9-8. The quality of the schedule that they've played already, besides Detroit, which was 0-7, you include Detroit, the teams are 32-17. By far the best record.
Yeah, I would think that's
by far the best record. Carmen broke down Kansas City, and I said, well, they're 26-21.
Yep.
So they have played 6-3, 6-1 teams they have lost to.
Yeah.
Tampa, the Rams, and they've lost to the Green Bay Packers. It's combined 18-3 right
there. They still
have
Arizona coming up, too.
Oh, no.
They've got
good teams coming up. Some are not particularly sold on Baltimore after the beating they took this weekend.
And be careful on Thanksgiving.
So, yeah. Oh, Lions at Lions. Sure,
careful.
Minnesota. And remember, my 9-8 was always with 4 victories against Detroit and against Minnesota, and 1 victory had to come against the Green Bay Packers. One of those games has already gone by the wayside.
They're not beating the Packers.
They got to find a way to beat the Packers up there to get your 9-8. What I believe will be their 9-8, their path to 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to do it. I mean, but the two teams they beat, 5-2 Cincinnati, right? 5-2 at Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those teams 5-2.
Yeah,
them are the ones you're beating. They played a tough group. Nagy, I have no faith in whatsoever. Because of that, I can't judge Justin Fields fairly. I can't judge him fairly. If I judge him off of what I see, it's awful. It's just awful. But I can't judge him off of what I see because I know who the head coach is.
Well, just say that Justin Fields plays for the Los Angeles Chargers. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you see a rookie, you see him not having the clock in his head, the offensive line around him. There's still some growing pains. I mean, but all of them are going through it besides Mac Jones. They're all going through issues.
Right.
All those young players.
Obviously. I mean, the guy down in Jacksonville inherited a terrible team. So he's down there just playing for a god-awful team.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out a way to win. The other kid is in the New York Jets.
Well, that's a disaster.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's out two to four weeks. He escaped a serious injury.
I am telling you. I mean, that poor guy. And they're in transition, theoretically, out in San Francisco, trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do. So, yeah, the guy that went last of the five quarterbacks
is
the guy that might be in the best position because of the guy he's got.
Well, he's definitely in the best position. Will he be the best quarterback? Yeah, he's got Belichick and McDaniels. I mean, he's definitely in the best position.
Carm, we play San Francisco this week. Did you hear what Martellus Bennett said about Jimmy Garoppolo?
I've heard about it.
Bro, we lost two games. One of them was because Jimmy Garoppolo was being a bitch and didn't and tried to quit. He quit before us on the last, decided not to play right before the game. So we went out there. Jacoby came out and played with a up thumb and played his heart out. But Jimmy was just being a bitch about it all. And he's still being it. Like, that's why you can't win with a bitch for a quarterback, first of all. So, like, that was the whole thing with him. He didn't want to come out and, like.
You can't win with a bitch for a quarterback.
I mean, I wouldn't think you can. I don't know that he's that. I mean, I don't know Jimmy Garoppolo. That's Martellus's. That's just like your opinion, man, as the dude would say. Right. I have no idea. I don't think Jimmy's very good.
He went on to say.
Don't say that.
He went on to say that he would have preferred that he pulled out on Thursday instead of Sunday morning. That he did have a legitimate something or another, but he was going to try to play through it. And at the 11th hour, he decided he didn't want to play.
Because he said his agent was trying to protect his body.
That's what they said. The inference was that was happening.
I've had that regret before. Yeah. Have you?
No.
Pulled out on Thursday, but you...
Oh, no.
That might not be a regret.
No. I always stayed the course.
Is that what it is?
I always stayed the course.
Is that what you call Yurk the course?
I'm trying to say it in the nicest way possible, because I was about to say planted, you know?
Yeah. All right.
I'm staying away from that.
Thank you. Yeah, please.
Yes. Please. Yeah. Hey, listen, everybody's got differing opinions of everybody.
Yeah.
And at some point... anybody that's ever played quarterback has been labeled one thing or another.
Yeah.
And over the course of time, you either prove that you are or you are not. That's the way it works at the quarterback position. I don't know what people are labeling Justin Fields right now, but I think he'd rather have a new offensive coordinator and a new head coach is the direction I think they're heading there.
It'll come.
I don't know. Will it? I'm not sure. I hope.
I'll be shocked if he's here next year. I will.
Well, we could all be shocked whether he is or he isn't. Is this place... if you get rid of your coaches, you got to get rid of your general manager, too, because your general manager is awful. Ryan Pace
change the
is
whole thing.
Awful.
You got to change it all. And I don't know. I mean, and so the next guy they might hire might be just as bad, because this is just what this franchise does.
Yeah, they don't know. They just don't know.
They can't get out of their own way. They don't hire the right people. I'd like to think go after, you know, do everything you can to get Brian Daboll. Everything you possibly can. And they might ruin him, too. I don't know.
I want a guy who's been a head coach before, Kerm. I don't want another assistant.
By accident, you know? By accident sometimes.
Who do you want, Cap?
He wants Ryan Day.
I want Ryan Day. He's been in the NFL, and he's been a successful head coach. But they're going to have to pay so much money, George will never green light that.
Ryan, what's the buyout there?
I don't know what his buyout is there.
One fine day.
But I look at Todd Bowles. He's had a chance once with a bad franchise.
Yeah. How'd that go?
That was bad Arizona franchise.
He was the Jets coach, wasn't he?
New York Jets.
He was the Jets. That's
New York
right.
football
coach. I mean, and the Bears are just as bad as them. I mean, why go back down that road? You could say, well, he was with a bad franchise. So are the Bears.
Yeah.
Why do you want to see Todd Bowles?
And it does not have to be an offensive coach. It does not. Just get the best leader of 53 men.
No, don't talk about the leaders. Matt Nagy tries to be a leader. How about the guy who understands football and can schematically design things to put you in advantageous situations? Let's stop talking about the best leader of 53 men and find someone who can actually coach them.
When you're a head coach, Jimmy Johnson was talking the other day. He goes, you are a CEO. You get an offensive coordinator, score as many points. You're a defense coordinator, keep them from scoring points. You're a CEO if you're a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, that might be Nagy. He could be a CEO. I don't know, but he can't call offense.
He could run a lawn service, maybe.
Can he be Harbaugh? I mean, you're asking him then to be John Harbaugh. I don't know that he can be that. And now you're asking to find another coach that is John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin. And maybe those guys are out there, but they seem to be more few and far between. Go out there and find somebody who understands this game that can develop Justin Fields.
The guy's doing the hiring.
Offense.
The guy's doing the hiring is the problem.
Well, yeah, of course. It's all a problem, guys.
We can blow out the whole lot of them. Ryan and Matt, who's hiring them?
The whole thing is a problem. They have 3 passing touchdowns in 7 weeks in 2021.
Oh, no, that's horrific, yeah.
Let's wake up. The whole thing is a problem. Make no mistake.
It's awful.
It's a big problem.
You've had 3+ years to prove you don't know anything about offense. That's what Matt Nagy has proved. Over 3.5 years or 3+ years, He doesn't know a thing about offense. It's terrible.
Hey, Carm, in an offensive league, you had no offense.
Thank you.
Right, now officials are helping you. The game is helping you be able to get first downs, and you can go for it on fourth down, and the Bears can't do any of that well.
Nothing.
None of it.
And your GM...
Except run the football.
Your GM doesn't understand the importance, or he's got a grotesque inability to understand what offensive linemen look like, too.
Grotesque.
Correct? And that's your problem.
How about this is the guy that paid Tariq Cohen? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
You want to talk about how bad everything is? I mean, there's not enough time in the day, boys. There just isn't. There's not enough time in the day.
Yeah, it's awful.
Cohn still, I saw him on the sidelines. Is he going to play this year or what? Oh, 2 years out?
Oh, he's out of them.
Does it matter? Does it really matter?
No, 1 year.
Year plus. No, the running back position. It's nothing. Yeah,
almost two on it if he doesn't play this year.
If he doesn't play this year. He blew it out in late September of 2020.
Late September, back in 16.
Yeah, so we're in month 13. It's the 13th month.
Exactly. Yeah. And so. It's just an
8-month recovery program for an ACL.
And they paid him.
Yep.
They're paying Gadget. Not only should you not pay running backs, you certainly shouldn't pay Gadget running
gadget
backs.
Players.
But let's hand out $6 million.
Kick us out, Yerk.
Time to go, guys.
All right, Yerk.
Me and my floppy
hat. Have a great day. Carm, travel safe, kid.
Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Carm and Yerk coming up next. Hoodie, have a great day, man.
All right, Caps. Take care. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
My floppy mic.
It's limp.
That's it. Mike Viagra coming in. Carm and Yerk are next. Have a great rest of your day.
Hi.
See ya.
Hi.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko. See Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Here's Cornette. Cornette's got a huge gap and takes it all the way down to the three. First and goal. Cornette drives across. It's a touchdown. Still in the hands of Fields, who goes downfield and is intercepted by D. Delaney. Delaney getting his first start today, and he's got an INT. Pump fake and throw. And it is caught by Godwin for the touchdown. Fields has been picked four times this year, all of them on third down, including today. And he lost the football. The arm was going forward. Barrett got there first. And Tampa Bay has the recovery. Evans. 600. It is.
Gotcha.
Here's Fields. Bodies around him. And again, the ball comes out. Jack Barrett picks it up. Loses it himself. White has it. Mack is out for this play for that Chicago defense. Deep ball time. And is it there? Yes, it is. Evans. And now back to Evans. Turns around. Makes the catch. What a turnaround just in time. Step up and now throw it, and it's caught for the touchdown. Evans with his third of the game. Brady with his fourth.
Lance and Robo, CBS yesterday. The GOAT does it to the Bears again, now 6-1. He's got a pair of 38-point games against the Bears, a 51-point game against the Bears, a 36-point game against the Bears. That was in a snow. That was in a blizzard. That was in a foot of snow at Soldier Field. So much for bear weather. 19 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and the Bears lose. I can't say anything that really happened yesterday was all too surprising. I wish I didn't feel that way. I think most Bears fans walked out of the stadium thinking, kind of expected that, good kid. It was fun to see so many Bear fans there, but we had to just kind of wear it. At the end of the day,
well, yeah,
and that's the way. It
and
is.
all the news that was coming: Hicks not playing, Quinn wasn't going to play. Yeah. No two negative tests before, and then you see that the right tackle is somebody that has probably shouldn't be in an NFL uniform, and he was getting raced around. I mean, he was stopping, third step back, he's stopping, turning, and saying "Hasta la bye bye," giving a nice push right to Justin Fields. He ends up getting benched. They put Bars in there, who was capable. Just capable. That's all he is at that point. He's capable. He's a capable player.
He's your fourth guy.
Yeah, 73, unfortunately, was not capable.
No.
And I don't know what the potential is for him, but he caused a lot of chaos and a lot of problems. And, of course, did they not know? Carm, you said it, 39% blitzing. They're one of the most aggressive teams in the NFL. Did they not anticipate guys coming off the corner? It's like Justin Fields was just oblivious to the fact that there might be a blitz coming off the corner.
I know.
I mean, you got to look left and right. I mean, you got to periph it. You got to see it. It was woeful. Another woeful offensive performance for a coach who has produced nothing but woeful offensive performances the whole time he's here.
That's basically it. That's
this offense
summation.
Being called by him or being coached by him is not good right now. It's just not good.
I felt like walking out of that stadium last night that Bucks fans sort of viewed us as, I think the whole game, the whole situation, where you know what the Bears are right now and how good they are, it was like we're a pimple on an elephant's ass.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, it's like it. I think it was so insignificant. Like there really wasn't too much.
No, not a boil, because a boil could bother you a little bit.
Right,
pimple you could just dismiss. It'll relieve itself.
And
you don't even worry about it.
Honestly, I feel like that's what it was. Like we wore our obvious shirts that I had made up. All six of us: me, Sylvie, Danny, the boys.
We saw the pictures.
We had our shirts. Fans did get a kick out of it. Even the Bucks fans. A lot of the Bucks fans got a kick out of it. A lot of Bears fans said how much they loved it. It was Brady holding up the four. We knew he was going to make us eat our shirts. I mean, we knew it. And he did, but there wasn't really a lot of chiding. There wasn't too much, chest pounding. The Bears are so insignificant in the grand scheme of things in the NFC. Do you think the Packers care for 1 second about us? No. Do you think the Bucks or the Rams like think twice at all? Do you think that at any moment when they know they're playing this team, it keeps them up at night? Like I feel like we're so insignificant in the grand scheme of where the competitive teams are in the NFC. It's just heartbreaking. It really is.
I will go out there, Carmen, just let you know this. The AFC is wonderfully competitive. They got about probably eight teams there that are going to qualify for the, seven out of eight will make the playoffs. It'll be wide open. It'll be wonderfully competitive, right?
Yeah.
The NFC is top heavy. It's got five really good teams, and the rest of everybody else is kind of crap. Five really good teams.
Yeah, Packers,
and the rest
Bucks,
of everybody else is crap.
Cowboys, Rams, Cardinals, right, York? And everybody else is like,
exactly.
And the Bears are in that pile of
We're in a deep pile of eh. That's
this
where you're
team
at.
Has three passing touchdowns in seven games in this era. It's flabbergasting. It's disgusting, quite frankly. Three passing touchdowns in seven games.
Yeah, they're trending for seven for the year.
Right, thank you.
Seven for the year.
Seven. Tom Brady had four in the first half. This team's got three all season. Yeah. In 28 quarters of football, they have three passing touchdowns. They're last in play. They're 30th in points. We do this every week. We go through the misery that is the Bears offense. They're miserable. They are absolutely miserable.
312 Carm, 312-332-3776. Specifically, who's to blame? And for me to blame lays one area, one area. The players obviously got to play on the field and get things done. But this team is coached so poorly, and I've watched this offense scuffle for way, way too long not to understand exactly what the hell's going on. Okay, the guy, the head coach who was brought in to be an offensive genius is terrible. He is terrible at what he does. He is terrible. He fooled them. You fooled them all, Chief. Matt Nagy fooled us all into thinking that he was going to bring something from Kansas City that resembled that offense. And it hasn't. It hasn't. It's been terrible. He's proven here that he doesn't really know how to develop a quarterback either. He did it with Trubisky, and he's starting to do it with Justin Fields. For the sake of all things that are holy, he's got to move. He's got to go. That's it.
It seems obvious to all of us, and I know that we can be accused as fans of being a little bit overreactionary at times. This, to me, is no longer an overreaction. I think you're right, Yerk. I mean, and we've been talking about this and these issues for far too long. This is not an overreaction. It wouldn't have been an overreaction if they did it last year, quite frankly, or last offseason. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. And he can go up and do his rah-rah stuff. Miller, do you have that? We should play that real quick again in case anybody missed it. He can get up and do his rah-rah stuff because it's the only thing he's got. He can't go to anything else. This is Matt Nagy after the game yesterday with, again, just trying to talk about positivity and staying together and I don't know what the point is he's trying to make or what he's trying to prove, other than I think it's his only hope. It's his last ditch effort to hold on to this job, is that I can keep saying I'm going to keep us cohesive and together and we'll fight and that will save my job. This is Matt Nagy after yet another ass kicking on a Sunday afternoon. Take a listen.
I will say the last couple of days with our team, we've become really close. And, for us to become as close as we have the last 24, 48 hours,
I just trust and believe in them, and they've done it before. We're 3-4 right now. Again, we can't have this affect us and make it be a 2 or 3 or 4 feel like that much of a loss. This is we lost, and we got to learn from it. Our guys have rebounded before in the past, and I just know from our discussion in there after the game and where we're at right now as fighters and people and teammates, it's not fun. This is not fun. But at the same point in time, we all go through some adversity to be able to get us, you know, where we want to go in the end. And so that's why I feel that way.
They've been going through adversity for 2.5 years. Your offense is inept. It's woeful. And I think the only reason he does this is because there's nothing left. And I think that, well, you know, watch them be competitive and maybe beat a San Francisco team that's not great, that's got its own issues right now. They don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be Sunday. Let's say they do beat them. They get to 4-4. And maybe Yurko's right. Maybe they do get to 9 still, as crazy as that seems right now.
It sounds crazy, but I still think they have the ability.
And if they get to 8 or 9, Matt Nagy's going to go into that exit meeting. He's going to go sit with George and Ted and Ryan, and he's going to say, look, I was a game above or a game below. We're right there. They've been 500 the last couple of years. He can brag about a silly playoff appearance last year that was when they added playoff teams because of COVID, and now they've kept that, obviously. But, okay, you made it as a 500 football team. He's got to go into that office and say, look, I held this together. We're there. We're coming out. We'll be good. 8-8, 8-8, 8-9, 9-8, whatever the hell it is. That's how he's going to fool them. And George might be crazy enough to think, yes, he did keep us together. Oh, he did. The whole thing is crazy. And it's hard to take right now as a Bears fan. So let's take a break, right, Eric? And we'll come back. Should we rip through a bunch of Bears calls?
Yeah, we're going to rip through a bunch of Bears calls when we come back. 312-332-3776. And, of course, there's, former Bear players that are weighing in on Justin Fields and development and everything else. Everybody's got an opinion, Carmen. There's nothing wrong with it. We like to give them out, so we'll do that when we come back next on the Carmen and Yurko Show, ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports,
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Brought to you by Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana Acura Dealers here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. It's Carmen and Yurko. I'm still down in Tampa, back at the studio tomorrow. Yurko's back at the shop. We're going to take a bunch of calls. Bears get thumped. Yeah, boy, I told Merkin last night, we were texting. I said, Merk, let's just talk about the 3-0 Bulls. I mean, what the hell? Jeez.
They only have one team
to get us through the winter, maybe.
Right. You can. Well, the hockey team's certainly not going to do it.
That ain't going to do it, kid.
Another pummeling. Oh my heavens. The flower is crying right now. He's like, what did flower. I do?
I know.
Maybe he should have retired.
I should have retired back to Montreal.
Carmen, let's get out to the phones. Let's talk to the citizenry of Chicago. They saw it. They watched it. They weren't there in person. But let me tell you, it wasn't any better on TV either. We're going to go to Larry. Let me punch this. Larry in Downers Grove. Larry, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys, my second time talking to you. Last year I called about let's do a good old-fashioned quarterback competition, and no one takes my advice. But talk about Nagy. He can't coach. We know he can't adapt. He's got to go. But he always talks about Kansas City. Hey, Kansas City, how many points did they score yesterday? People have figured them out. The man does not have an original thought. We need somebody original. We need some toughness, man. Bring back Ditka.
Coach.
Ditka.
Bring back coach.
Poor coach could barely get out of that chair. I don't know if you want to bring back Ditka, but yeah, the Chiefs scored 3. I wouldn't say that they've been figured out either. Do they have issues right now? Yes, they do. They're 3-4, but I won't stomp on the grave of the Chiefs just yet. I don't think they're in the grave. That's just me. But it doesn't matter what the Chiefs are doing. It matters what the Bears are doing, and they're not doing anything. They're last in just about every offensive category, and they have been for too many years now.
All right, Carm, Eddie on the north side's got some thoughts. He's got somebody to blame. Eddie, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing? What they did to Justin Fields has made him one-dimensional, and you can see how confused he is in the pocket. He could not make quick decisions or anything, which was a real funny thing. I watched the Ohio State game, and you know what them announcers were saying? Wow, this guy's not going to be here next year. Oh, he better not be. Oh, another number one draft pick from Ohio State of a quarterback? They all look good when they come there. You can't judge them when they come from there. It was unbelievable. I knew it was going to happen. This is my top pick is Tampa. and they've wasted him as I thought they would be.
All right. I don't know necessarily. Listen, talent is talent wherever it comes from.
He
transferred into Ohio State. So, I mean, some other schools had recruited him, thought he was going to be one hell of a quarterback, too. The Buckeye curse is not on Justin Fields.
No, I don't think there's any curse, really. I mean, he was recruited by Georgia originally, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right, correct, yes.
He set out down in Georgia. Before Deshaun Watson, how many great Clemson quarterbacks were there? And I mean, before Texas, I mean, think about where Patrick Mahomes came from. Remember, no quarterback could thrive that played in the
Texas Tech.
In the Kingsbury offense.
Right.
You know, nobody could thrive in the NFL. That's not going to work. I mean, that's a silly thing to say and to totally dismiss somebody because of where they went to school. And we didn't just do it with Mitch because he went to North Carolina. We did it more because Mitch had a tough time getting on the field at North Carolina. Now, to me, that's problematic, but I don't want to start rehashing that old nonsense, and I don't want to talk about Mitch Trubisky because it makes no sense. We got to figure out if Justin Fields can get better or not. I don't know. I mean, I can give you some good and bad, Yerk. I mean, or not even good and bad. I could give you, you could look at that game yesterday and say, boy, some of it he's really got to own and wear. You talked about being able
protection.
To turn your head both ways.
Right. You got to be a ball protection is obviously something he can control.
He comes up to the line of scrimmage, first drive, second play, right? Where they got the sack.
Yeah.
Winfield is at the line of scrimmage. They motion Mooney across the formation. Winfield takes a couple steps with him, passes him off. Winfield drops. And then again, as the ball is being snapped, is right back at the line of scrimmage and comes. And they're totally unaware of it. You have a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. And Herbert's on the wrong side of Fields on the play fake. And then he can't get a piece of Winfield. And who's on the ground for a 6 or 7 yard loss, or even more than that, it might have been a 10 yard loss. It's Justin Fields. That's a simple thing. You said it when you said you got to turn your head both ways, right? What you're talking about.
Yep.
You got to look to your left and say, Antoine Winfield's blitzing here, or there's a possibility of it.
Yeah.
And I've got to know somebody's got to be hot on that side, right?
Multiple bogeys might be coming from that direction. You've got to assume that they might be coming. If they don't, then you give yourself a little bit more time.
And so that's the stuff he's got to learn. I get that, but that's not all on him yesterday.
Right.
It's not.
Well, Komet dropping the ball, Mooney tipping one up in the air, getting it intercepted. And sure. I told you about Komet. You're going to have drops, but boy, doesn't it seem on key third downs, this team finds ways to go and just drop the ball all the time.
It's terrible.
It's enough to drive you nuts. Let's play the comparison game. Mark in Minneapolis, what are your thoughts here on what happened?
Oh, man, guys, thank you. Calm, I want to agree with you 100%. For some reason, because the Bulls are good and the basketball season started, I really don't care about the Bears. I mean, I'm not saying I don't care at all, but it doesn't affect me as much because the Bulls are good this year. I don't know if that's a bad thing for the Bears, if the Bulls will start being good and people will start not caring about their Bears as much. But game four tonight for the Bulls. But my point about the Bears I wanted to make, the guys last hour said something about, Justin Fields is a rookie. All the rookie quarterbacks are struggling, but they're learning. I disagree with that, and I think Sylvie wanted Justin Fields to play real bad. But he's not learning anything. He's just running. Like when you see Mac Jones in New England, he's going through progressions. He's making mistakes, but he's learning things. Justin Fields is always under pressure. He's just running. He's learning bad habits. And that's why I disagreed about him playing right away. I wasn't in a rush to. Because he can learn bad habits, and this can carry over into the next season after that. What do you think, Yerk, as a football player?
Well, listen, I don't mind learning under fire. That doesn't bother me. Learning under fire, getting thrown into the deep end of the pool, that doesn't bother me at all. The get out there, get it done. I think he's strong enough. I don't think he's going to be affected enough. I think he's got confidence in himself and who he is. I just wish there was a competent coach in there. That's all I want.
But do you think, how players can learn bad things, but do you think they can pick up bad habits also?
I know what Marcus is saying. I think that's the question it was a fear for a lot of people that said, no, just sit him because the Bears aren't good enough for him to be good and to thrive and their line's too beat up and it's not good anyway. I mean, I think it's hard to answer, Yerk, but the question is like, can you ruin a guy already? I mean, think about two of the games he's played in. The Cleveland game was horrific.
Absolutely.
He's been sacked 22 times. That's the most in the league. He has the most yards lost. The Bears have the most yards lost via the sack in the league. I think the question is like, not is he learning or can he learn to get better, but can you ruin a guy? I mean,
well, here's your dilemma. The first game against the Rams was brutal, and it was Dalton as the quarterback. This guy, this coach, Matt Nagy, doesn't put his players in the best position to succeed. And part of that is due to Ryan Pace also and some of the decisions he makes and just kind of ignoring the offensive line at the most important position, which is left tackle. Trying to get by on the cheap at your left tackle is going to cause you problems somewhere in the future. That's just the way it ends up working.
The one they drafted is hurt, and now you're down to like your fourth right tackle. So it's as bad as it was maybe when they were all healthy, now it's really a disaster. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, it's Randy Kerm.
Oh, sorry, Randy. I'm sorry.
I would seriously considering letting Justin sit for a couple weeks and watching from the sidelines.
Well, if you're going to sit him, you sit him for the year then. If that's what you plan on doing,
and
then.
Like give Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you're not going to play the roller coaster game up, down, up, down, up, down. You're not going to do that.
You're 3-4 right now. This is your chance, really, to decide if you're a playoff team or not. And I think Andy Dalton right now might give you a bad.
I think Justin Fields, obviously not.
I mean, you watched the first game. We all saw what was going on with Andy Dalton. They never threw a pass further than, what, 8 yards?
8 yards or something like that.
I don't want to see that again. Anything that's happening now or what happened against Cleveland is 10 times better than what Andy Dalton was doing his quarterback.
I mean, Merck, what makes you think even with Andy Dalton or any, like, that they're somehow, that, like, if they think they're a playoff team? I mean, like, in what world does this look like a playoff
team? Well, we've already talked to you about that, Carm. I mean, yeah, they lost against the Packers, right? And they lose against this team, and they look terrible in Tampa on the road. But there's teams that look terrible from week to week and come back the next week and find a way to win.
It's the NFL, man. They beat the Raiders pretty soundly. They beat the Bengals pretty soundly. And those teams are both 5-2 right now.
That's true, Carm. That's true. There's no denying that.
I just can't see a playoff team.
Listen, they got three of their four losses. Three of their four losses are against teams that are 18-3 right now. That's the truth.
Yeah.
There's no denying it.
We did peg this coming in. Remember how? Yeah. You could have looked at old school strength of schedule stuff where you're just going off of opponent, and you could have looked at some of the other advanced things that people do. Like Warren Sharp does a good job of this with his preseason book every year, which is always a good read to get ready for the football season. And he does, he just simply started looking at how teams have rest compared to the rest of the league. You know, he does like a net rest thing where how many situations are you in where you're playing on short rest and the teams you're playing are on extra rest. Like the Bears from his net rest advantage were like second worst in the league. I mean, they've got a brutally tough schedule. It doesn't get any easier as it goes on either, unfortunately. So in a lot of ways, we kept saying it. We said the Bears have one of the toughest schedules in the league.
Well, and, I mean, the good thing
playing
is
out to fruition.
Yeah. The good thing is you got San Francisco coming up, and Frisco is not the team we thought they were.
No, that's true. Pittsburgh
is definitely not the team that they thought they were either.
Although they might be better the last couple weeks,
but that doesn't mean they're a great team. The Bears find ways to beat teams that are as good as they are or worse. That's what they do. And there's a number of those that are on the schedule. Well, one reason or another, Randy Merkin hasn't beaten Baltimore because he's not convinced Baltimore's a good team.
Baltimore is not a good football team.
I would disagree with that. They're going to be 8-9 again, and it's just
well,
like,
it'd be the first
the
time
old.
Ever they were 8-9. You know what I mean.
In the regular season, you know what I'm saying. Like they're going to be right around 500 again, and like, well, we're kind of close, and yeah, we'll keep everybody. I mean, it's insanity. And it just is. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. How is this going to get better? What would you do with Fields, the quarterback situation right now? You with Randy? You think that somehow they have a better chance of winning, actually, with Andy Dalton than they do with Justin Fields? We'll take more phone calls. We'll continue to discuss. 312-332-3776 with Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's a Bears Monday, not a victory Monday, not even close. I mean, this game was over by the end of the first quarter, unfortunately. That building emptied, Yurko, in the fourth quarter. The 15 minutes to go, it was the end of the game. I'm not kidding. I mean, it was, yeah. I'd say 75% of the stadium exited at the start of the fourth. That's when we left. There was no point in staying anymore. We were going to try to get a beat on, maybe getting a ride share. That didn't work out so well, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it was an ass kicking as the Bears fall in week 7. They are 3-4. They've got the Niners coming up. They were about a 3.5-point dog at home in the look ahead last week. There was no line, at least. I know I checked earlier this morning, a couple hours ago. There was no line yet. There's some questions again about who the Niners are going to roll in here with quarterback. So we'll see. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll get back out to the phones here in a second. 312-332-3776 on this Bears Monday, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers.
Did you
say? The weather's
stay?
Not great back home, I heard.
No, nah, it's rainy. It's a little rainy. Yeah. But the rain should start to dissipate here shortly as everything kind of moves through. This is more of your counterclockwise backside effect from the storm that had just gotten through. Yeah. So that's where we're getting winds out of the east, winds out of the north, and then it's going to move on through, and then you should have some dryness coming up here in a couple hours. So that's where we're at.
What were you going to say?
Were you there for the Bilal Nichols ejection? Were you guys there when he got booted?
See the when was that? Was that early in the fourth?
It was in the second half. For sure, it was in the second half. But
it might have been. It was either when we were a little bit late getting back to. Sylvie and I took my son and his son down at halftime to grab an ice cream, and we were a little bit late getting back up to our seats. The game had probably been going on for like 3 or 4 minutes. I want to say at that point.
Yeah.
So it was either then or in the fourth one.
No, it was probably the fourth quarter, Carm.
Yeah, I think so, because we did not see that. We heard about it right out, when we were looking on Twitter.
That is one thing that the Bears are close to the top, though, in ejections underneath Matt Nagy. Yeah. So, now, you might be leading the
second in the league in Matt Nagy's tenure in terms of ejected
players. How about that?
Great culture they got up there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a wonderful culture.
They're close, though. They're very close.
Punching guys in the helmet.
I like taking cheap shots, and that's kind of what that was. And I don't mind, though.
No, I don't. I think it's hilarious.
We were trying to
figure out yesterday, because when Sylvie covered the Bears, even going back to the late 90s, he was on a few trips down here when the new building was open. We couldn't remember exactly when. But did you play in the new Raymond J? Did you play in the new building?
1999 was the year that it opened. In 99, we played a preseason game there with the Cleveland Browns. So, yes, I played in the new Raymond James Stadium. Yes.
It's a pretty nice stadium, man. At this point, for as old as it is, with the concessions are old and it's a little slow.
It's 23 years old. I mean, it's not that old when it comes to stadiums,
I used Yankee
Stadium for gazillions of years.
I do think in terms of like the concessions, like the modern amenities when you get to the new stadiums are sometimes a little bit better. I will say this, they didn't have vendors really, which I think kind of made the lines extra long. You really didn't see too many vendors walking the concourse or in the stands. It was like you had to wait in all the lines. So that was the one, I'd say, downside. But the stadium itself is nice. We were in the last row. No joke. Last row of the stadium at about the 35-40-yard line. It wasn't an awful seat. I mean, it really wasn't. Like, it's – yeah, it was high, but
you could see everything that was happening on the field.
Everything. You saw everything that happened. It was like watching the All-22 – we were not too far away from the pirate ship and all that. And the kids got a kick out of that, but they do a lot of pomp and circumstance and they're great right now.
Do you see how they when they get in the red zone, the flags raise,
the flags.
That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
I agree with you.
I'm in there and I'm looking and there they go. They're being raised. I go,
the guy was
nice.
Right. He was right at the end of our aisle. Cause like I said, we're in the last row. The guy was right at the end of the aisle. One of the guys in charge of the flag by us and around the whole stadium, they raised those red flags. And that is very cool. It was a good experience. That's a pretty good stadium.
Yeah, and they're in the red zone a lot, Carm, because they're basically getting the ball in plush territory all the time.
And the Bears gave them the ball in the red zone a lot. Yes. You want to take another call real quick before we break for the top?
Yeah,
of the
let's go to my man. Let's go to my man Alante in the South Side. Alante, what's happening, my friend? Welcome aboard.
What's going on, guys? First time caller. I'm ready to talk about the Bears, though.
So. Oh boy. Yeah. What do you got?
Unfortunately. So, like, this to all the Bears fans that are overreacting today. I mean, we just played the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. And he's, like, the greatest of all time. But, like, I mean, Nagy, the coaching staff, they got to go. They all have to go. I played a little football in college or whatever, and it's just, like, the small, like, football stuff they miss on. And it's just, I can't even watch the Bears anymore, really. Like, they mess up things on a small football microscope that a lot of people just don't see, like blocking and.
Yeah, the
reading
basics.
Cuts and catching balls, like it's like the simple stuff. Like
it's enough to drive you crazy. Alante, where'd you play?
I played at Aurora University. Shout out to the Spartans.
There you go.
Tinley Park High School as well.
Tinley Park Titans. Yeah, state champions. 1987, if I'm not mistaken.
86.
There you go. 86. Boom. Right in the general area. Yeah. All right. Alante,
thanks,
thank you.
Alante.
Yeah, the coaching staff is problematic. It is. It is. You got 3.5. You got the body of work. It's there, Carm.
And
again this week on Friday, we'll talk about how woeful they are offensively.
I know.
28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. Bad, 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 bad.
And I, you know, it's funny. Like I'm sitting here in the hotel room. I've got the TV on, and they're showing NFL highlights, and like I'm watching the Kyle Pitts highlights, and I watched some of them this morning, and
yeah.
I watched Jamar Chase highlight. You look around this league, and you see what's going on with some of the offenses and some of the skill. The Bears are so woefully short. It's not even funny. I mean, it just isn't. I'm tired of it. It's a little depressing. It's old. We're saying the same things now for how long? It's just like, when is it going to change?
Let me run this theory by you. Specifically, I think Yurko will appreciate this.
You want to do it after we come back?
Let's. I'll do it right
save
after
it.
The top.
That's
yeah.
a good way to start the 11 o'clock hour, it sounds like, Meller. Let's do that, okay?
Sounds like
Meller's
a plan.
He's going to run a theory by us. I'm going to go continue to watch Kyle. By the way, Kyle Pitts is no tight end. I mean, who are we kidding? They're going to try to do what they did when Jimmy Graham was awesome early on, York. They're going to try to screw him when it comes contract time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Kyle, to say that Kyle Pitts is a tight end, that's like saying I'm a tight end. That's ridiculous.
Here, his closest comp physically is Julio Jones.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That's his comp. He's Julio Jones.
Well, he needs to change that right now. He just needs to put himself as a wide receiver then.
He's got him, and it's insane.
He's
got
to start calling himself a wide receiver. That way,
he's
4 years
not a tight
from now.
End.
You don't have a problem.
That's a joke. Anyway, all right, Meller's got a theory for us. He's going to float that. We want to hear from more Bears fans. Were you at the game like me and Sylvie and Danny? Thoughts from the weekend, 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.